Hi, thanks for joining us on Hometown to Hollywood. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of The Hollywood Parents Guide, and today my guest on this podcast is Brenna D'Amico. Brenna is best known for her role as Jane on Disney Descendants, the Wicked World animated series, and Descendants 2, which comes out this summer. Brenna, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here with you.
So, when did you know that you wanted to be an actor and a singer, Brenna?
I was really shy when I was younger, so it was when my friend started doing musical theater when I was 8, and my mom kind of talked me into doing it with her. I was so shy, we had to go to different parks until we could find nobody there. It was crazy. I know.
So you'd, like, practice singing in the park?
Yeah, no, I would go to the park, but I was so shy that we would have to find kids that weren't there, and then when they would show up, we'd have to leave because I was so shy, but then when my friend did stage play for musical theater, I was like, okay, Mom, I'm gonna do it, and I fell in love with it. I absolutely fell in love, and that's when I knew I was hooked.
Isn't that interesting? You know, I think there's a lot of people out there who think that actors can't be shy people.
Right.
But in my experience, a lot of actors are actually shy people.
Yeah, I know, and that's what kind of broke me out of my shell and let me experience new things, because from that day forward, that's when I started gradually getting more outgoing, and I'm really grateful that happened for me.
Gave you courage.
Yeah, it did give me so much courage and bravery, and when I would perform on that stage, I knew that's what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. So that's what really inspired me.
That just gave me chills. So you were 8?
I was 8, and I did musical theater up until I was 12, and that's when I found my manager in Chicago.
And you're from Chicago.
I am from Chicago. Everybody makes fun of my accent. They're like, where are you from? Like, from Chicago. And then they have me say, like, how do you say this? How do you say that? But yeah, and then they got me my, at the time, agent in LA.
Okay, well, we're going to go into that a little deeper in a minute. But was there someone who inspired you back then, or is there someone who inspires you now?
So many people inspire me now. James McAvoy, he is amazing. But back then, what really inspired me was Broadway. Broadway really, really inspired me to do this. But now I saw Split, and I love that movie, and Meryl Streep and Johnny Depp, I really, really love them. So they're probably who inspired me most right now.
Yeah, it's exciting to have people whose work is work that you would love to do.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, so you got started because you fell in love with musical theater thanks to your friend, and you did it from 8 to 12.
Yes.
And then how did you end up with a manager? How did that happen?
One day I was like, Mom, I really want to do something more. I did Fox Valley Repertoire, which was a bit bigger of a musical theater production, and I love that, but I was like, I want to get a manager or an agent. And she was like, okay, so we sent my headshot into this manager, and I auditioned for them, and they took me on. I'm so grateful that they did that for me. And from there on out, that's what sort of started kickstarting where I am now. They got me my agent in LA. So I was really, really excited when they did that for me, because I was taping, just taping for a year until I got Descendants. I got Descendants my first week I was out there.
Get out.
Yeah. And actually, which is really funny, I was only out there for a week, but then I got a call back for the thing I went out there for. However, that gave me the opportunity to audition for Descendants. So being there for another week was amazing, and that got me my opportunity for Descendants.
Okay. So let me back up so I can follow the trail here, because this is the thing that is among the hardest things for new actors of any age, frankly, not just young people, but to get an agent or a manager and then, you know, to open that door. Once you walk in it, if you've got the talent, and if they're what you're looking for, you know, things often can go well. But just to be seen is so tough. So you were successful sending in a headshot and a resume to the Chicago manager who signed you. Did you have an agent in Chicago?
No, I didn't. I had a agent in L.A., and that's where they got me. But then after I got my agent in L.A., I had one in Chicago for a short amount of time.
For local stuff.
Yeah, for local things. But mostly what my auditions were coming in for was California.
Yeah, because that's where almost all the casting
where almost all the casting went. So I was, and it was so cool taping, but when I went in the room, that's when I really fell in love with this.
I feel the same way. I've always preferred a face-to-face, in-the-room audition.
It's just such a different vibe, and it's, I love it. That's what I prefer. I think that's what most people kind of, like, most actors prefer, because you're one-on-one with them. You can really focus, and I love it. I love doing it.
You can feed off of each other's energy. You can feel the temperature of the room. Mm-hmm. You know, that's big. Well, it's interesting. So in the state of California and in New York, you kind of have to have an agent before a manager, because in those two states, managers are not allowed by law to get work for actors. Only agents are. But you were from Chicago. So you were able to get a manager who could do stuff for you, get you work, get you hooked up with.
I was so lucky that that happened for me.
That's big. And I like people to know that, because, you know, if you're not in LA or California, really, or New York, you know, your path to a great agent might be through first signing with a manager. Exactly. Once you've got one of those pieces in place, it's so much easier to have them set you up with the
meeting. You know, it just kind of falls into place once you get that start that you're looking for. Yeah. And even if it's really hard for you to find an agent or manager, there's so many things that can help you up your game. You can post, if you sing, you can post on social media, and that can help you. And there's just so many different ways. Take acting classes. There's so many ways to help you get the experience you need in order to get somebody, like, managers or agents interested.
Exactly. And people can't hear that enough, I think. Because there's a lot of, like, I don't know how to do this. Like, look, there's every different way to do this.
So many different ways. There's musical theater. When you come in with a resume of that, that interests them. Mm-hmm. My resume was filled with so many different plays. They were like, oh, okay, musical theater. That's really interesting. So you sing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yes, I do. So that kind of, you know, spiked their interest a bit.
Yeah, if you're a good agent or manager, you can learn a lot just looking at a resume that a normal person wouldn't even be able to intuit. Mm-hmm. Well, so your manager gets you an appointment in LA with a prospective agent, or an audition?
He visited Chicago.
Okay.
And was scouting for us at my manager's office.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. So cool. So then you fly out to LA.
Yes.
For an audition?
For an audition, yeah. And it was my first time being in the room for a totally different one, not Descendants. And I got a call back for that other one and had to stay another week. And that's when he was like, wait, I think I have another audition for you and I'm going to get you in. And that was Descendants.
That must have been crazy for you.
It was crazy. I was like, Kenny Ortega, this is crazy. Oh my goodness, I can't believe that I'm actually getting to audition for this. And then I got a call back and I got to meet Kenny. And it was so surreal for me because I loved High School Musical. I still do. And just having, like, the Gabriella wigs, and I was like, you are real, you are here, and he's an amazing person. He's absolutely spectacular, and every second I do work with him is amazing. It's still so surreal for me, everything, being on Disney Channel. When I think back to watching Hannah Montana, and that was my favorite show, being on that channel is still so crazy to think about.
It's huge. I mean, you just really can't wrap your mind around it. I remember vividly when we first met Kenny Ortega, it was a couple of months before Dove went in for Descendants, and we were sitting in the audience for Heathers the Musical in LA before it moved to New York, and Kenny Ortega was right behind us, literally, like, his knees were almost touching our backs, and she turned around, she goes, Mom, Kenny Ortega is behind us. And she was literally hyperventilating.
Oh my gosh, I can imagine.
His energy and his charisma are so fierce. Like, you feel it.
You feel
it. Like, behind you.
Yeah. It's like, I feel that there's this liberating vibe behind me. It's Kenny.
Yeah, yeah. And that was our first introduction. He was so gracious. And little did we know, you know, how everybody's lives would change quickly. Right. Not long after that, thanks to his work, really. So that's amazing. So, well, then let's follow that trail for a little while. You get the role. You're cast in Descendants.
And when I found that out, I was at home alone, and my agent called me on my phone, and he was like, how would you like to be working with Kenny Ortega and Kristen Chenoweth? And I was like, so I got it. I started freaking out. I started crying, and it was just crazy to hear that, because I auditioned in March, and then I found out in May.
Wow. See, this is great, because people, they think they're going to hear the next day or two.
Oh, no.
No.
No. Well, when I auditioned, my agent said they called and, like, we love her. She's great. We would like to put her on hold. But then after that, nothing. And then I found out in May, and I was like, it was even more crazy for me because there was nothing leading up to it.
Like, so
it was
nothing more, in between?
Nothing.
No chemistry tests?
Mm-mm.
Just like time. Just you time. Got it?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I didn't even have to come back in.
That's crazy.
Crazy.
May. They started shooting in late May.
I know. No, they flew us out May 10th. Yeah.
Okay, so timeline. So, how old are you at this point?
13.
You're 13. Oh my gosh.
It was crazy.
I knew you were going to, I thought you were 14 maybe. So you're 13, mm-hmm. You're just having your life, you've gone back to Chicago, you yeah. had a cool experience flying out to LA, that must have been exciting, yeah. but nothing really happens.
Nope.
You meet some good people, you go back, you're in school.
I've always been homeschooled my whole life.
Okay.
So it was really convenient for me for when I started acting.
Okay, cool. So you're back to your normal mm-hmm. life though, at home, you're homeschooling, and then you get the call, oh, by the way, we need you in Canada next week. Basically. Right.
And I was like, oh, that's so great. That's so, it was like, yeah. I didn't even think twice about it, of course. And we're like, I was like, yes, for sure. And all I packed was jeans. And I didn't know we were going to be dancing. I had no idea. So I was like, they called me when we got there. We're like, the next morning, in the morning, we're going to pick you up at like 6 a.m. For dance rehearsal. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. Yep, I'll be ready. We had to go out and shop for like, leggings, like all I packed was jeans. I was not prepared for this, and it was so exciting.
That's so cute. Well, so you guys must have had to scramble, because yeah. that was a fairly long shoot.
It was 2 months.
A good 2 months. Yeah,
yeah. A good 2 months.
So suddenly, you know, on no notice, 2 months in Canada. But it was right. It was so fun.
Oh my gosh, it was one of the best moments of my life besides shooting, you know, Descendants 2, and I think it's pretty hard to top an original movie with a sequel, but I think it's going to be insane. It's going to be amazing, and I'm so excited for people to see this.
I am too. I have to say, sometimes you hesitate to build something up because you think, well, people are going to be disappointed if it doesn't meet their expectations, but I'm sorry. Descendants 2 is going to blow people out of the water.
It's going to blow people out of the water. I could not agree with you more.
It's exciting. Well, so I'm backtracking because there's like so much fun stuff to talk about. Okay, but I want to talk about school. So you're 16 now, mm-hmm. which is still just so young. It's so cool.
It's so crazy.
It's so crazy. You know, there's so many things are happening yeah. for you. But you've been homeschooled all the way through. So you didn't have to deal with the kind of in and out of school thing that so many young actors do.
Right. And I was really grateful for that to happen. And again, as I said, it was super convenient for me, but I'm hoping to graduate by June, and I'm really excited about that.
That would be huge.
Yeah. And I like homeschooling because you can go at your own pace, and there's not as much pressure. And I've always loved homeschooling, always. So it was really cool that there was no conflict or like intenseness throughout filming and school, and being an actor and, you know, being homeschooled. So I'm really grateful that nothing conflicted like that.
That is so great. Well, a lot of actors homeschool, mm-hmm. and some go back and forth, but it's neat that you were always doing it, so this right. wasn't like a huge, you know, transition and yeah. change, which can be challenging for some kids. Mm. So you're not even going to need to take the CHSSP. You're just going to graduate because yeah. you're that on top of your stuff.
Oh, I'm so excited. Thank you. I'm really excited because I do go a bit faster just because I want to graduate so bad, so I'll be able to work more and...
Well, that's so the cool thing about homeschooling yeah. is because you can do it at your own pace. You yeah. know, you can, I mean, to be able to really legitimately graduate high school at 16 is huge. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, you can do what you want and exactly. whatever that looks like. And it's thrilling. So what kind of training have you done? How important has training been for you?
Training is so important. You can never learn or know too much about what you love. I go to acting class at Lisa Picotte's acting studio once a week. I love it there. We do comedy, we do drama. And what I need to work on most is my comedy. And I can't get enough of that because challenges are what excite me. Challenges are what people need. And I think if you kind of just stay where you're comfortable, that's not going to give you as much of success as you deserve. So I think those challenges are so important for you to take on and realize how special and important they are to you and for you. But I do also singing lessons, and it's really exciting because learning so many new things about my voice recently is super exciting for me because I get in my head a lot. I really do. So just the fact that my teacher has opened this new door to what my voice can do is super exciting, and I'm really excited to play around with, you know, the high notes that I just realized that I can sing from now on.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, so learning is just, learning about everything new is so crazy.
It's really powerful. Singing and getting on top of that can be so, like, empowering for the human that you are.
Yeah.
Not just for the performer that you are.
Exactly.
I don't know quite what explains that, but I've just seen it so many times where I think it's about that metaphor that we use about, you know, finding your voice. Mm-hmm. There's something there. You know, when you really do find your voice and you can speak your truth, there's something incredibly liberating about that. And voice lessons, even for singing, seems to unlock that for a lot of people.
I agree. And it's really freeing having somebody show you something that you thought you couldn't do. And learning, and I love being in acting class because there's so many amazing actors that I can learn from and learn different, their way of acting and not just one, because there's no one way with doing anything.
Yes.
Ever. And just being able to experience so many different ways, I think is quite beautiful.
I do too. I mean, my whole life, I'm just one of those lifelong learners, but I've always been inspired by seeing what other people do and how they do it. And, you know, maybe once I check it out, it's not going to be for me, but I'll still learn something.
Exactly.
You know? There's always something you can take away, and there's always something you can do to become better at what you do. And if you really love something, if there's something you love doing, why wouldn't you always want to get better at it?
Exactly.
You know?
I love that. I love that, what you just said. That's, why wouldn't you want to get better at it?
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the people who are like, no, I know what I need to do. It's like, really?
Yeah.
You're done?
Yeah. Like, oh, I've taken a month of acting class. I know everything there is to know. That is not the case. You can never learn too much about what you love.
I agree. And at the same time, there's different ways to learn. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm a reader. I books and the written word, that's how I take in information. Other people, they just don't really read, and they learn better by watching or by doing, you know, learning by doing. You don't have to necessarily learn by taking a class. Sometimes you learn, frankly, the audition process over and over again, all the auditions you guys have to go through.
Exactly.
That's its own, like, school in some ways.
It is, and it's great to go in there and learn what different casting directors want and picking up on what, and kind of being able to read them a little bit. And so many people get really discouraged about hearing the word no, because you are going to hear the word no more than the word yes so many times. But what I do is I let that motivate me to get that yes, to hear that yes, and to want that yes even more.
I love that. Because it's true. I mean, think about it. However many people audition for any given role, all of them are going to hear no, except for one person.
Yeah. All of them except for that one person. And that should just motivate you even more to be that one person.
Yeah. Yeah, because somebody's got to be that person. Mm-hmm. Why not you, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about the school thing and about what a lot of, frankly, even kids your age still deal with in school you may have sidestepped a little bit because you've been homeschooled. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about bullying and the whole sort of, like, social thing, the drama that can go on with being, you know, a kid and a teenager. Have you been able to sidestep that largely, or have you had to deal with that anyway somehow? Or
on my Instagram, you know, I've had people, you know, in my life also say hurtful things to me. And when people do say hurtful things on my Instagram, and when I see that, I don't let them affect me. I've always been, my mom has taught me to never let that affect you. And it never has, because she's taught me so well. But when I see those things on my Instagram, I delete them. Not because they affect me, but because I do not want that type of negativity on my page. And then the people that support me get really upset and start arguing and fights back and forth. And I don't want that anywhere near my page, because I don't want them to be upset. And I don't want to see that. And I really try to stay positive and just realize that it's not about you. It's never about you when they put you down. And I really can't stress that enough to people that do get bullied. And I just think it's awful that it happens, but you need to understand that if you are comfortable with yourself and that you love yourself and you know your family and your friends love you for who you are, then they shouldn't affect you.
I love that. I think that is the bedrock truth. And it's interesting, like, you know, here you are, someone who in some ways has been fortunate enough to not have to deal with the sort of daily, mm-hmm. you know, stuff that a lot of kids do with the school situation, because you've been homeschooled. But there's these days, you know, pretty much all kids have social media of one stripe or another, mm-hmm. and that's where it's like a free-for-all. And I watch my kids' page. I do. She may be 21 now, but I keep an eye on what's being said. And I'm just appalled at how free some people feel to just say the nastiest things. It's like you're not a real person or something, you know. It just astonishes me. But everybody deals with that. And to be really, really clear, it's just not about you. It just is about the person mm-hmm. making the commenting. It's an absolute reflection of their internal condition. Yeah. That can go a long way in helping you to understand that it just doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Yeah.
And it really does appall me seeing some of the things people do say to amazing, amazing kids that do not deserve it. And I've been so lucky to not have to deal with that on a daily basis. And I feel so much and so awful for the people that do but don't deserve it.
Mm-hmm. Well, nobody deserves it.
Nobody.
But I do think that there's a trend toward understanding, you know, what's behind it and, mm-hmm. and how it really isn't about you.
Don't fight them, because that's, one, that's what they want, and that's also, it's not healthy for you.
Mm-mm.
Don't let that negativity in your life. Just push it aside and fill the negative space with positivity and positive thoughts.
I could not agree more. I love that. I think that's great advice. What advice do you have for auditioning? For kids.
My main one is...
actors.
Right, actors, anybody. My main one is just to relax. Relax, be comfortable, be confident when you go in there and know. And I would say what really helps me is before I go in, I think of my character and I write down what the relationship with their parents are and what their hobbies are, what their characteristics are and what they like and what they don't like, what kind of foods they like, what kinds they don't like. And that really helps me dig deeper into just being comfortable playing and portraying this person, as if you get to know them and create something behind them, not just go in and say the lines. Personally, I'm always off book, and I think that helps me stay connected more and without looking down at my lines so much. So I would just say go in there and relax. People need to kind of take a moment before they go in to go into that character. Don't play the character. Be that person. Become that person.
That's good advice. You know, Dove got chewed out once for walking into an audition without her sides, because she had completely mm-hmm. memorized everything. And they're like, "Where's your sides?" She's like, I don't need them. I've memorized it.
Right.
They were so mad at her. They're like, "Well, what if we want you to do something on page 3? And she's like, "Okay."
Right. Always have them, but and always keep them at your sides. But I would say always go in off book. But yes, bring them in. Maybe like have them at your sides or put them on the floor next to you. But
just in case,
yeah, just in case, for yeah. always for sure do that.
Yeah, because that was so confusing to both of us. For like, come on, she's completely memorized these cold. Mm-hmm. It was a little much actually, but it was a good lesson, because you don't know. I mean, you could be told to go to some page, and if you can't do that, then it's awkward and it can kind of throw you emotionally. So I agree totally. I mean, people, you don't always get the opportunity to have the time you need to properly, fully memorize the sides, but you should always do the best you can, because the more off book you are, the better job you're going to do in the audition.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you never know if casting directors hate if you have your sides or if they don't.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to do what's comfortable for you.
Mm-hmm. But do your best to have it memorized. Nobody hates that.
Yes. Nobody hates that. Nobody hates that.
Well, any audition tips for self-tapes? Because even when you're in LA, which you are now you're living in LA basically, you still have to do self-tapes. Not everything is live anyway.
Right. And when I was taping, probably my advice for that is pretend the camera is not there whatsoever. Connect with who you're reading with, and it's all in the eyes. If you're being taped, they want to see everything in your eyes. So I really, really think pushing that emotion out into where they can see it is going to be your face, your eyes, everything. They're not going to be seeing your whole body. So I really think, I can't stress enough portraying those emotions onto your face and your eyes and really connect with the reader.
That is great advice. And I have to say, you have extremely expressive eyes.
Oh, thank you.
Doesn't hurt.
I've been told that before.
But I think it's a really great secret. I mean, I think, in my experience, that's what they're looking for. They're mm-hmm. looking to feel like they're connecting with you. And when we're talking to each other right now, I'm looking into your eyes. That's what people exactly. do. And so it's not going to be different if it's a self-tape.
Right.
You know.
I agree.
It's going to be just the same. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to double back because I actually wanted to ask you a little more about Pam. Again, the stories are always fascinating to me. Like, how do people get their people? So you have the manager in Chicago. They get you out here for some auditions. Mm-hmm. How did you end up signing with Pam Fisher?
So I ended up signing with Pam because my manager and agent at the time, I separated from them. And then at my lawyer actually referred us to Pam, which I was really, really happy. I was like, awesome, that's great. I have an audition with Abrams. That's so awesome. So I went in, and I knew that they were right for me, and I knew that I wanted to be with them, and they were so amazing, and Domina and Pam are just, I love being with them, and I'm so grateful that I'm with them.
Well, Thought Motto's amazing, too.
Oh, yeah, really, she is.
They operate as a team.
Yeah, they do, all of them.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. So what has surprised you about this whole adventure so far? You fall in love with musical theater when you're 8. You decide to, personally, as you decide at the age of, 12, that you want to get serious and take it to the next level. Mm-hmm. At 13, I'm doing chills right now. I've just got the chills. Like, at 13, the next year, you get cast in Descendants. Your life changes. You end up in Los Angeles. And here you are, 16, having shot 2 major films, and you're doing the Wicked World series as well. What has surprised you about this adventure? What's been, you know, not what you expected?
I didn't expect to meet so many amazing people, and working with Kenny Ortega, that was so surprising, and Kristen Chenoweth, meeting her, and the people that I've met have had such a big impact on my life that it's just so surprising in the best way. And Dove, and thank you for raising such an amazing human being. She's absolutely amazing, and I love her. And the rest of the surprises have been when I did audition and not hearing anything for like a while, like three, four months. And it was really crazy to hear, oh, you did amazing, we're gonna put you on hold, to nothing, and then you got the part. So that
get
was
on
super,
a plane.
Get on a plane to Vancouver.
Hope your schedule's free.
Yeah. So that was super surprising. It was exhilarating, but it was also super surprising.
Yeah, it's funny because I think we always have an idea about what something's going to look like.
Right.
No matter what it is. You know, you think, I mean, if you want to be a lawyer, you think you know what that's going to look like, which is why you want it. You know, you think you're going to want it because you think it is a certain way or same thing. And many people want to be actors. And you have an idea of what that will look like.
Right.
But generally, things aren't always what they look like they're going to be, and they're just like what they are. And
you have to leave home, and you have to, like, my family, we are separated for a lot of the time, and it's super hard on us. And my parents and my family are making so many sacrifices that I may not be able to ever repay, and I'm so grateful for them in it. And my dad and my sister are coming out soon on Thursday, and I'm so excited to see them, and it really is hard, but the sacrifices are so worth it. I'm just so grateful to have parents and a family that do support what I do, and that was super surprising for me when we were like, you know what, we're gonna have to go to California, and I had to leave all my friends, and that was probably super surprising.
I would think so.
Yeah.
That's another thing I have noticed when I talk to families who are, you know, whose kids are really talented, really passionate, and they're not quite so far down the road, and they're just like, they're making the push, they're going for it. And I'm like, so you do know that there will come a point probably where if your kid is as successful as they hope to be, you may have to relocate. And they're like, what?
Right, exactly.
Wait a minute, we can't do this from here. And some people do. Some people do manage to go back and forth, literally. Like, I can think of a handful of successful young actors who now all live in L.A., okay, now, but they're young adults now. Mm-hmm. But for years, they were able to just, like, fly out once a year and mm-hmm. shoot a movie or go back and forth a whole bunch. But even that takes a huge amount of flexibility on the part of somebody in the family.
Exactly.
Because if you're a kid, you can't go back and forth by yourself. Mm-hmm. You've got to have a parent with you. You've got to have a parent on set. And that can be really challenging for families, you know, and what your family's doing is something that a lot of families do, which is, you know, one parent stays behind, takes care of the house, you know, holding down the fort, and the other one goes out with the young actor, and sometimes the siblings end up split up too, and that's, right. That's not easy.
It's not easy. And sometimes, you know, it gets super, super hard where it's like, almost about to be too hard, but then, you know, I always think, and then, like, this is a once-in-a-lifetime chance, and that kind of is what, you know, holds us down a little bit.
I think that's a good way to hold it. I mean, the metaphor I've always used, or the comparison is like, look, if I had a kid who had Olympic-level talent, you know, who really had a shot at being on the Olympic team for something, would I not, you know, relocate so that they could train and you know, have that chance? Mm-hmm. I would, you know, and these are special circumstances, and sometimes they do require some amount of, you know, sacrifice. Fern is coming to join us now.
She's so interested in our conversation.
Fern likes to be part of it. Hey, Fern.
Oh. She's saying hi.
She's making her cameo. So, yeah, no, and really your parents, all the young actors that I know, I mean, they don't miss. You know, I don't like to use the word sacrifice so much, because the truth is when you're a parent, you would do anything for your kids that, yeah, you can.
Exactly.
Not all parents, no matter what they want to do, have the resources to do what your parents are doing, mm-hmm, for you. You know, they may want to all day long, but they just, not everybody can. But for those that can make it work, I don't know any young actors who don't understand what a great... act of love.
It is. Unconditional love.
Yeah.
And yeah. I love them so much. I wouldn't be doing this without them. Yeah. I really wouldn't. So I'm forever grateful that they're doing this for me.
Yeah. It's a huge act of love. It's, mm-hmm, it's really beautiful. And I, your mom's out in the backyard right now.
She is. Probably enjoying every second because it's a beautiful day today.
It's a beautiful day. It's a nice backyard. I hope, mm-hmm, she's enjoying it. But I got a chance to meet your mom on the set of Descendants 1, mm-hmm, and she was really special. And
thank you. I couldn't agree more. I love her.
When you've landed in Hollywood, which is a variation on a question I've already asked you, but, like, how was that for you? Like, you're a 13, 14-year-old girl coming from Chicago. Here you are now in Los Angeles. Like, how was that for you?
It was very different and a little intimidating, for sure. I think it would be a little intimidating for anybody, but I don't know. I really love being out here. I feel like this is where I'm meant to be, even if I wasn't an actor or in the creative industry or entertainment industry. I just feel this is where I'm meant to live. This is where I'm meant to have a family eventually. California is just somewhere I think I'm going to be forever.
So, good landing.
Good landing. It was a good landing for me. It was a good landing. It's beautiful here. I love it.
I have to agree with you. I think there's a lot of people, you know, outside of LA who have a certain idea about what LA is like, mm-hmm, and it's not always a positive idea.
Right.
But our experience is that LA is filled with hardworking, creative people, and,
yeah,
you know...
And it's so exciting meeting those people because they inspire you and they dedicate you on a completely different level. Because, mm-hmm, you're like, you look at them, you're like, huh, I want to be them. I want to have the motivation, the dedication that they have. Like, so many people like that inspire me. Dove inspires me. As soon as I met her, I was like, she is so hardworking. And she really did inspire me. Ask my mom. I talk about how hardworking she is all the time. And she's one of the many people that inspire me to the fullest.
That is a lovely thing for me to hear, of course.
Yes,
thank you.
No, for sure.
Thank you. But it's really true. I mean, as you meet people who are really accomplished in, mm-hmm, the field that you want to be accomplished in too, especially people like, say, Kenny Ortega or Kristen Chenoweth, you know, people, right, who are, you know, really icons. Mm-hmm. But because you get a chance to work with them and get to know them, you realize these are real people.
Exactly.
You know, and they just, you know, made choices and put in the work that got them to that place. It kind of demystifies it, and it makes it seem more possible for that to happen for,
right,
you too.
Which a lot of people may think like, oh, they can do it, so I can do it, but don't get lazy. I can't stress that enough. Like, work hard and never, ever give up. Like, you know how many times you're going to hear no, but, and it's okay to take a break for a little bit, but never give up and don't make it easy. Take on those challenges and just work your booty off. Work your booty off until it's gone.
I love that. I don't think that can be said enough. And I think that that's true for people in any career direction. You know, I mean, that's just good advice for life.
Exactly.
You know, it's funny. Dove was just in Hairspray Live recently. Mm-hmm. And so I got a chance to meet the people in the cast and in the production for that. And I have to say, until that experience, I actually thought that Dove was maybe the hardest working young person in Hollywood. Because, I mean, she does work really, really hard.
Right.
Then I met Ariana Grande. I'm like, no, this is the hardest working young person.
Really? Right.
Oh, my gosh, that girl. I don't know that anyone works harder than she does. And, you know, look at what she's done with it.
Right.
But that is what it takes. It takes a profound amount of commitment and hard work. And
it does.
You have to do more than want it. You have to work for it.
Yeah, and you yourself have to need it. Your passion has to be your drive.
Yeah, but if you have that, mm-hmm. you know.
Exactly.
It's doable. So what are your methods of staying positive and focused on your dream when the challenges come your way? How do you get up in the morning when you know, everybody has those days.
Everybody has those days, and even I have those days. And like I said, it's okay to take the breaks when you truly need them, but let those people that think you can't do it motivate you to want it even more and prove them wrong and to prove yourself wrong. Because I know I have thought this, and I know a lot of people think that sometimes they can't do it and they really, really can't do it. But if you work hard enough and you believe in yourself enough, anything is possible for you. Anything and everything.
I agree. I think that's another one of those things that just can't be said enough or heard enough.
Right.
You know, I think if you really, really, really want something badly enough, you will find a way.
You will find a way to get it and bring it to you.
Yeah. So that's what you tell yourself when you, like, hit a wall or you're, like, just having one of those days where you're like, I don't know if I can do this.
I don't know if I can do this. And then I just always remind myself that how close I've come other days. And then I always remind myself, you're going to get that close again. You're going to get that close again, and then you're going to snatch it. It's going to be so close that you're going to take it right out of somebody's hands, and you're going to keep it for yourself. And I always think that if one of my idols could do it, then I can do it.
I love that. So, yeah, you just use them as a personal role model.
Yeah, for sure. I just can't stress not giving up enough. Like, don't never give up.
You can't give up. Because, I mean, especially for this particular dream, this particular path that you're on, and already, you know, just killing at the age of 16.
Oh, thank you.
Seriously.
Thank you so
seriously.
Much.
Like, I hope that you feel that in your heart, because you've already accomplished so much, and you're obviously just getting started.
Thank you. It's exciting.
It is exciting. It's exciting. I think there's something... I think there's something about accomplishing so much at a young age that can really, it can grow you up kind of fast, but not necessarily in a bad way.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just like you figure stuff out faster because you need to and you want to,
mm-hmm.
you know, to get where you want to go. And again, something that I see consistently in the successful young actors I know is an unusual amount of maturity,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you kind of have to have that because you are in fact...
You
may be still a kid, technically, but you're in adult professional situations, and you have to rise to that occasion.
You do, and it can be really hard for some people to do that sometimes. But for me, I've always had amazing people around to teach me and to help me learn how to handle those situations.
Well, and again, if you're really fortunate and you've got, like, you know, good parents to support you and have your ear and bounce things mm-hmm. off of, that can help you navigate that whole thing as you figure it out.
Right.
Yeah. How do you handle rejection and haters? And I guess we talked about the haters thing a little bit already, but just rejection,
right.
like, when in terms of just rejection in the industry, like, when you go
right.
and you have a role that you really want,
really
oh,
want.
Man, you want it, and you work so hard to, like, prepare for it, and you don't get it.
Right.
Like, how do you handle that?
Would I eventually hear the no and that I didn't, you know, get something or don't hear for a while, you know, I kind of figure it out that I didn't. But what I do, if I'm going to audition, you know, I know after everyone I do my best. But if there's one thing that I didn't like about it, or one thing that I would have done differently, I think about it for maybe 5 minutes, and then it leaves me. And then I completely let it go. And I think, for me, that really helps with just doing your best, going in there, hoping you killed it and you rocked it, and then just letting it go and not thinking about it again. I've always been that way, and then learning that that's something so helpful, it was really, I love doing that, and I love that I'm like that as a person, because it helps me so much. It helps me so much with rejection, because, I don't know, like, when you think too much about something, I feel as if it's not healthy for you. So when you overthink, like, oh, why did they say no? Why did I get this? Think about it for maybe 5-10 minutes, and then let it go. Let it, just don't be too hard on yourself. And I've never been too hard on myself, so I think that's what really helps me deal with rejection.
I think it's a really healthy impulse. I think when things don't go the way you want them to, especially in this industry, so much of it's just literally, it's so out of your hands. It's like, you weren't tall enough. Well, you know, good luck with that.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm not
tall
enough.
Let me just snap my fingers and grow like 4 inches.
Right? Or I look too much like the person you've already cast, or not enough like them or something. But you know, sometimes there is something that, like, you could have done something differently.
Right.
So then you learn from that, whatever that was. Oh, I should have had more sleep last night. You know,
exactly.
Period. Sometimes it's just that simple.
Yeah.
And then, like you say, to let it go is probably the best advice there is, you know, and practicing letting go is a good thing, again, for life in general. Earlier, you mentioned that sometimes you get stuck in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a problem that a lot of us have.
Right.
And I'm going to speak for myself.
Oh, yes.
But a lot of, I think, artists and actors especially, like, you know, we can really get in our heads and we can circle around in there a lot. What are your go-to methods for getting out of your head?
I get in my head a lot for myself. And, you know, I have never, luckily, I've never let that ruin something for me. And I'm, you know, obviously still practicing not letting it. But what I think is, if you think about yourself and you think over and over again, I am not going to mess up these lines, because I know them. Like, I reassure myself that I know what I'm doing, and I know these lines, and I know what type of character I know this is. And it's just, I think it's all about confidence. It's, confidence is the key. And not confidence as to where you think you're better than somebody else, but confidence where you know you're comfortable with yourself. And I think that's really the key of learning and not letting yourself get in the way of yourself.
That's beautiful. And a lot of people do confuse confidence with arrogance, but
yes,
they are not the same thing.
Not the same thing.
Arrogance, not a nice quality. Confidence, critical.
Yes, critical. Yes, I agree.
Confidence. Nobody can be too confident. I mean, unless, you know, maybe they're wrong.
Yes. Yes. Maybe then. Maybe then.
If you really do know your lines, you can say, I know my lines.
Right.
You still got to do the work.
Yeah, still got to do the work.
Darn it. Well, let's talk about the Disney Channel for a second. Mm-hmm. We talked about it a little bit earlier. You know, I mean, my experience with everybody that I know who's been on it as an actor, they fell in love with acting. In many cases, it was musical theater, because so many of you guys are triple threats.
Oh.
And yet, to be a professional actor is literally to go out for whatever you're called out to do. It can be any project at all. It's completely random. I mean, it's so random, it's kind of mind-blowing sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, oh, it's a horror film today. Oh, it's a commercial tomorrow. Or, you know, it's like, whatever. And then one day, for each of you, it happens to be the channel. And I think there's a lot of confusion out there by non-actors thinking, well, I want to be a Disney Channel actor. It doesn't work that way. You're an actor, and then maybe you get an audition that maybe turns into a role. But here you are, and you're doing all this work with the Disney Channel. How is that? Like, what's that been like?
It's still surreal for me, because, as I said before, I always watched Hannah Montana, Lizzie McGuire. I watched Wizards of Waverly Place, so many different ones, and High School Musical, and I had, like, the Hannah Montana microphone and everything, so just seeing and knowing that I'm on Disney Channel is still so surreal and crazy for me to think about, and I'm so grateful that that happened for me, because I didn't go into acting thinking of a particular production or channel that I wanted to be in. I knew I wanted to act. So when I got that audition for Disney, I was like, this is so exciting. This is so cool that I actually get to audition for them.
And then when you go up to the top floor of the Disney Channel building and you see all those posters and the frames and you're just like, whoa,
I watched that. I know who that is. I've watched that religiously. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And now you're doing voiceover mm-hmm. for the animated series. What's that been like?
I didn't do voiceover before Wicked World, and I fell in love with it. I absolutely fell in love with it. And voice acting has been another growing passion of mine, and I've been getting a lot of auditions for it, which I'm so grateful for. And just the different voices that I found that I could do was so liberating to, you know, find out and experience. So, I love voice acting. I really, really do, and it's another one of my passions.
It's really neat. The same thing happened with Dove. I mean, mm-hmm. it just wasn't really on her radar.
Right.
And then some opportunities came up, you know, because the way this seems to work is, you know, one opportunity leads to other opportunities, you know. And that's exciting. But she loves it, too. I think it's just, like, a really fun thing that a lot of actors don't really think about.
Right. And they don't think about it, but I don't think they understand how fun and creative it is. You can do so much with it. And what they do in auditions or like when you do get a show is they have you say it three different ways. And it's so fun experimenting and coming up with those three different ways to say it. And I really love it because you can do so much with it on your own. Like, it's what you want to do. And same thing with acting. I just love that you can take control and figure out what you want to do with the characters.
I love that, too. And if you're lucky, you have a director who supports that
kind of,
you know, I don't know, fluidity, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Kenny does that.
Oh, Kenny's.
Kenny. He just, he is so amazing. And his energy vibrates off of him and just makes everybody so comfortable and the energy he exudes is positivity and happiness and excitement. And that type of energy is so amazing to feel yourself. And he lets everybody explore what they want to do. And I think that's amazing.
The word I use for Kenny Ortega is generosity.
He has a huge generosity.
Mm-hmm. And it's very heart-based. He's so special. So, if you weren't an actor, what might you be doing or heading toward doing? Because you're still only 16.
Right. I think I would have to be in the entertainment industry still. But singing, I think exploring and expressing my voice would be such an amazing thing to do because I do have such a big passion for music and singing. I do play piano and guitar. And that's definitely where I think I would hopefully see myself going if I wasn't an actor. And then if I wasn't in the entertainment industry, I think maybe some sort of personal trainer or yoga instructor, keeping other people in shape and happy. And while I did myself, kept myself in shape and kept myself happy.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I've seen some of your videos singing. You have a beautiful voice.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you.
I can't wait to hear more.
Thank you. Seriously. I'm planning on doing more covers and everything, and I'm really excited to get my voice out there more.
Get those covers up, girl.
Yes, yes. I'm very excited.
Well, anything you want. I know you. Descendants is on lockdown. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, there's just no real details that anybody can talk about, and I know that as well as anybody. Is there anything you can say about it that, I mean, it's pretty generic probably, but anything you want to say that you think you're able to say?
I'm really excited that this film is really based around self-reflecting and not losing yourself to try and please other people, but just really, really stepping back and being like, this is who I am, and this is who I want to be. And, well, we all need in life maybe to adjust ourselves to a certain situation sometimes, but I think the movie is really about never losing who you truly are and never forgetting where you came from.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is a beautiful, accurate description of this movie. That
good. I'm so glad. Good. Oh, I am so excited for people to see this movie.
I am too, and I'm getting chills.
Just thinking about filming and thinking back to filming, I'm getting chills.
Such an amazing experience. So, any advice for kids who want this life, for young actors or young would-be actors who want what they look at you and see?
The littlest things you can do for yourself are never too little. Do everything and anything you can that remotely prepares you or wiggle your way in to this industry that you want to be in. Taking acting classes, doing doing your school plays, going to dance class, going to singing lessons, and really anything that truly inspires you to be in this. There's nothing ever too small to prepare yourself for this crazy, beautiful business.
I like that. And you know, it's really true. I'm looking at what I know of your background, and you did a ton of stuff mm-hmm. before you ever came out to LA. And mm-hmm. the reason that you landed on your feet so fast in LA was because of all the work you'd done
right.
back in Chicago, back home.
Mm-hmm.
All those years of classes and training and practice. And
yeah, and I think that really did help me. And it wasn't, and I think it wasn't, coming out here was such a shock when things I did experience, I was like, oh yeah, that's kind of like back home. That's kind of like what I've already trained for. So having that experience really did help.
Well, yeah, and you know, I think there's a misconception that maybe you need to wait till you're out here. It's like, man, don't wait.
Don't wait. Never wait. Never, ever wait.
Do everything you can where you are.
Yes.
Is there anything else you want to share?
I can't. I'm still getting chills from thinking back to Descendants 2 and filming. I'm really, really excited for people to see this. So everybody, watch out for this movie because it's going to blow you away.
I have to agree. I can't wait either. How can people find you, Brenna?
Everything, Instagram and my Twitter are Brenna D'Amico, as is my Snapchat, and Facebook is Official Brenna D'Amico.
And your real name has an apostrophe in there, but there's no apostrophe.
Apostrophe in the Twitter, Instagram, or Snapchats, or Facebook.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Brenna, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to Hometown to Hollywood. If you like what you heard here, please subscribe. It's free. Go to my website, hollywoodparentsguide.com, and click on the subscribe button. You'll get weekly podcasts and blog posts delivered right to your inbox that will educate and inspire you. And if you need help figuring out just how to navigate the career of a young actor, buy my book, The Hollywood Parents Guide, on Amazon. Or for one-on-one coaching that can save you literally thousands of dollars and months and years of wasted time, book an hour consultation with me over Skype or in LA. Just go to hollywoodparentsguide.com and click on the consultation page. For the same price of an hour with an acting coach, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. Thanks. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.